Is that an upside down eight? Can eights be upside down?
Yo, what?
I think it's still an eight.
I mean, but usually it's fatter on the bottom and smaller on the top. That one looks upside down a little bit.
I don't know how to answer that.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Transformation Church weekly follow-up podcast.
Message recap.
You know, here's what's funny. In my head, I got it right. In my head, I was like, I nailed it. Nailed it. Message recap podcast.
We really came in on two wheels on that, though.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
So I'm good one to of have your hosts, you. Justin, executive pastor here at the good old Transformation Church.
That's it.
With lead pastor Brad Livingston. And then some guy, Nate.
What's up, guys?
Student director extraordinaire.
Yes.
Well, that may be a little generous.
Stretch.
Maybe a stretch.
Yep.
But nonetheless, he's our student director. It's what we got, you know? Sometimes you got to play the hand you got like it was the hand you wanted, you know?
That's right. That's right.
That's crazy.
No, just kidding.
Oh, yeah.
No, Nate, you're doing a good job.
That was funny.
Yeah, you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got old Nate here. Nate, killing it with students. Second motion night.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy.
Crazy. Yeah.
Fun time.
And me, John, and Chris Cardi were in Charleston last week.
Charlestown.
Yeah. Charlestown.
Charleston's a cool city.
I loved it.
It's a great city.
We went there one time for ARC, and we got to go in the old downtown a little bit. I know y'all didn't do that. Y'all were on a retreat thing, but.
We were with you. When we went to the downtown thing, we were all there.
Yeah. And that's just cool. To me, Charleston is like, because it's a French Quarter, if New Orleans and 30A had a baby.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Because it's kind of a beach. It's a coastal community.
Yep.
But a French Quarter.
And it's upscale.
Yeah, it was way nicer than New Orleans.
I was thinking if New Orleans and what's that spot in Destin where they filmed the Truman Show?
That's on 38.
Rosemary, Rosemary Beach, 38. Yeah.
There's a term for it, and I can't remember what it's called.
No, that little part is called...
Seaside.
Yeah, I was thinking New Orleans
that's
is
all
Seaside.
On 38. And that's exactly...
100%. Yeah, it's very...
A coastal community.
It's got the moss tree, you know, all that stuff. Like, it's just a really cool vibe.
There's from, like, Savannah up to that whole low country area on the coast there, that parts of Georgia, parts of South Carolina can be really nice, you know?
Yeah. John will insert some clips of Charleston into this segment that we're talking over
here
right
we
now.
Go. Here we and, go. This, so, here's one now.
Yeah, there's some trees.
now. Well, he has that dope video he made for the art conference.
Hey, wasn't it crazy, the tide? At the house,
bro,
the
that retreat, is nuts.
How the tide comes in and goes, it's wild.
Yeah, so it was cool, man. This is the I'm showing Nate the video. This is the back. That's the backyard of the house you stay at.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's
not pretty
to unreal.
Put their business out there. I looked up on Zillow what that last time that place sold.
Which is it three?
Like it's like less than that. A little more than two or something. Like that. That's a pretty. It's a pretty good
60 acres.
It's a chunk of land.
60 acres with a 3,000 square foot house. Yeah, they're doing all right.
It's nice.
It's awesome.
So it's a pastor's retreat, in case if you didn't know. We got to go. So to kind of catch you up in the conversation, because we're just letting you into a part of it, and you have no idea what we're talking about. So myself, John, and Chris Cardi, who's our LD here at TC, and also our production coach. LD means lighting designer. We're using a lot of cryptic language. We all went to Charleston with Pastor Dan. On behalf of Pastor to Pastor, so Pastor Dan was co-hosting a pastor's trip in Charleston at a place called Retreat at Church Creek, which is where they take pastors for rest and respite and encourage them, pour into them, all that good stuff. And so we got sitting around the table, 14 of us around the table for that trip, and it's great, amazing venue and environment and home.
Yes.
And speaking life to each other. That's Pastor Dan's. That's what he does now with Pastor to Pastor. So some really cool opportunities that are opening up with that. Pastor Greg Surratt and a few other pastors are the ones that launched that. And so they're partnering with Pastor to Pastor for some things. So,
and a little more background, Greg Surratt, for anybody who's ever heard us talk about ARC, the Association of Related Churches, Greg Surratt up until recently was the president of ARC and has been involved heavily. He's one of the original ARC church plants and all that. So we've been connected to that church. Seacoast, his church, where he's the founding pastor. His son is now the lead pastor. In fact, we went to the ARC conference a couple years ago. Was in Charleston, and it's just kind of cool the partnership now that pastor to pastor, what Pastor Dan has with.
Yeah.
So the retreat is owned by Seacoast or them over there. But
So there's the pastors collective, which is like
that's right.
The pastors collective is to Seacoast what pastor to pastor is to Transformation Church.
Correct.
Gotcha.
And just not that it matters about why I leave it out. Seacoast is Brandon Lake's church that he grew up in. So that's where he learned leading worship was at Seacoast. So if that helps you.
It's a big church.
Big church.
But the retreat, I got to go. That's one, if anybody remembers, I went to an executive pastor retreat last year, was at that place that was one guy sponsored for 20 executive pastors from around the country to go. And that was cool. So I got to I had been at the spot. And they feed you, the food's good. Whew, and like like you don't leave there while you're there. Like
there's no reason to leave.
But there's a freshwater pond with a saltwater fishing. There's a golf simulator. There's pickleball courts. There's skeet shooting. There's a gym. You can do nothing and just like chill on the couch.
Free naps.
That's awesome.
What got me is that whole bar with all the snacks all day long. I was in the M&M's I had a handful of M&M's all day walking around. You know what I mean? Because they're there.
Yes, I do. I know exactly what you mean.
But they had like every snack you can imagine, salty, a lot of peanuts and stuff because I'm allergic, but a lot of different like nuts and pretzels and candy. It was just like, it was dope. Yeah, it was cool. Did they do the shrimp boil while y'all were there?
Yeah, sure did.
For one night? Yeah.
Yep. So it was great. Great time. So cool. It was cool just to interact. We did a podcast with Pastor Greg. That was the main reason we took John and Chris, was because we knew we were doing a podcast with Pastor Greg while we were up there for Pastor to Pastor. So if you follow Pastor to Pastor either on Instagram or on Facebook or the Spotify, Apple Music, or Apple Podcasts, YouTube, any of that stuff, you'll see us post that in the coming weeks. And so anyways, we went up there, did the podcast, and then on the way up, pretty much, or like the day before, they reached out to John to see if he would film a promo video while he was there. Mm-hmm. So John also filmed, got a bunch of footage. He's building them a little promo video and stuff.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
John's on the map. He's on the map.
John's on the map.
So we're looking past all the cameras because John is back there right now. So good time. It was great. We drove 9 hours Saturday.
Oh,
got back
golly.
5 o'clock Saturday night, just in time to get some food, eat, study a little bit, and go to bed. Try to go to bed and then wake up the next day. So I felt good Sunday morning, but by the end of the third service, I was tired. Even Sean Grimes was like, "You okay?" I was like, "Brother, I'm just tired, man. Like, I'm whooped." So, but it was a good time. Great trip. It was a fast trip. We left Wednesday night and came back Saturday. Drove till 1 a.m. Wednesday night. Slept 4.5 hours or something.
Man, lately there's been a whole lot. We were joking the other day. What do we have? Last week we had a late meeting one night. Oh, after First Wednesday.
We went
at a meeting after First Wednesday. We were at a restaurant, and then me and him stood in the parking lot and talked for like 20 minutes, but we hadn't seen each other and talked in like 3 weeks. So much to catch up. It was like, oh, God.
First Wednesday, what was that, last week?
No, 2 weeks ago, because last week was Motion Night.
2 weeks. Yeah. So 2 weeks ago, that Wednesday was the first conversation longer than 5 minutes me and him had since before staff retreat.
Had staff retreat, and then I went to Oklahoma City. You were on that one retreat you go to.
Yeah, I was in Destin.
And then I went somewhere else. I was in Tallahassee for Leap Day. There was just a whole lot going on. So I think that's frustrated at myself because over a 3 week period, I was only in the office 1 or 2 days each week for 3 weeks. I was like, I'm behind on stuff. So
we all felt that way.
But now we're
Back to the grind, done. Baby.
Getting Easter. Ready for
Easter. Ooh.
Yeah. Easter's going to be cool.
It's going to be wild.
You know, Nate, Easter is what makes us different, you know, as Christians.
Yeah. Tell me why.
Well, you know, Jesus rose from the dead.
Yeah, yeah. Every other god died, but only ours rose again. Yes. That's right.
Come on.
We are resurrection people, Nate.
Yes.
Resurrection people.
Come on.
Now, Easter's cool. I'm excited for the whole weekend is a lot because we do the egg hunt on Saturday. So bring your friends, family, neighbors, whatever. Bring kids out. That'll be fun. That's always fun because there's a lot of people that show up that maybe don't go here. We get to interact with, but
hit the community and do all that stuff. It's good.
Easter Sunday is just always cool because there will be people here who normally don't go to church. Which is cool. I mean,
especially if everyone accepted the challenge from this past Sunday.
Yeah, wow. Legit.
You got your two people,
yeah.
Nate?
Yeah, not yet, but I'm getting them.
You're getting them?
I'm getting them. Yeah. I could have lied and said, yeah, but I'm
could
not,
have,
I'm
but
not
don't,
going
yeah,
to.
Don't do that.
I'm not going to do that.
The Holy Spirit would have told me, and I would have known.
I had a guest here on Sunday that came for that I invited.
Hey, let's go.
From from PYP.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, female.
Yeah.
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 Gotcha.
Yeah, we had a big PYP event last Thursday, and
did she used to go to a church that we're both familiar with and doesn't go to that anymore, or she doesn't go to any church anywhere?
No,
gotcha.
No. Okay. She's not from the area. Or anything.
Oh, okay, dope.
I don't know who you're talking about. If it's the same,
yeah, no, it doesn't matter.
But no, she came. I invited several people. We were in a group talking about. They were asking me what I do and all that stuff. So yeah. I was telling
them. Let's go.
And then, but she came. So that's she said awesome. She'd been looking for a church. She's a chemical engineer.
Oh, made some good money doing that.
Yeah, so she was at International
You're
Paper.
Married. Calm down.
but no, she came. I get the impression it was different than what she's used to.
Gotcha.
Based on the vibe she was giving me, but she said she really liked it, and she liked seeing all the people in the lobby. She thought that was cool. Yeah. Which we get that a lot. It is normal, but it's like I guess having a lot of people. In a lobby, smiling and talking to other people is not normal in a church. Which,
yeah,
I don't know.
I get the impression, like, in Jesus' name, Amen. Everyone just runs to their cars. I guess at other churches, I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I guess
not here. We're like flicking lights on and off so we can get out of here.
Get out of this building.
Our lobby's pretty lit up too. Like, there's got windows and stuff, so it's like a pretty.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
A good space to stand and talk and.
Absolutely. No, it's cool. It's not a problem at all. But So yeah, no, I'm trying to figure out who my two's gonna be. I'm trying to get my cousin. You met Keith at Pastor Dan's house a couple weeks ago. Yep. I'm trying to get him and my cousin to come because they have a little boy. They have a little boy, and my cousin, she didn't grow up in church or anything, but her son goes to church with Keith's mom and dad, with her and
Charles.
Gotcha.
Okay.
But anyways, she said multiple times she's like to try here. She's heard all about it, and I was thinking I was going to talk to my mom to tell her too. But
that'd be dope.
To come for Easter, the egg hunt, and then it'll be a perfect time to come visit the church at least on a Sunday. Yep. So I'd like my cousin to come. She's one of my. There's four of us. I have three cousins, but including me, there's four that were all the same age. We're all like within 6 months of each other. My mom and two of her sisters, and then their sister in law were all pregnant at the same time when we were young. So she's one that's like a month around me, but we're been close over the years. But anyways, she's one of them I'd like to come, but. So we'll see.
No doubt.
But so what else is going on? This past Sunday. We're in a little mini series.
Well, yep. We got a little mini series getting ready for Easter. It's kind of the build up to Easter. Passion Week, Palm Sunday, all that stuff. So yeah, that's what we've been in. So this past Sunday, it's called Walk It Out.
You should have played that as your.
I know. I thought about it.
Everybody was singing it.
Walk It Out.
Everybody was singing it.
Yeah. So we did that. It's preached on the message, Walk It Out. Talked to the message about the guys that lowered their buddy through the roof to Jesus. Yeah. But it was like my goal for that sermon was to encompass the whole story in its context. You know, I think a lot of times that story is kind of isolated to just that particular incident.
Yeah.
As opposed to what Jesus was really accomplishing and what I think, you know, the writer was trying to accomplish in telling that story, which is that there's a lot more to it between the Pharisees and the religious leaders and the crowd and the, you know, the mat, you know, the healing and all that stuff. So, yeah, so we kind of jumped into it. And I guess we can talk about it for a minute now. That's what we're here for. Why not?
Let's recap the message.
Let's recap that. What a thought on the Message Recap podcast. And so, yeah, so we essentially hit on the idea that, you know, first of all, we talked about a crowd. Yep. Our church is never big enough. Yep. You know what I mean? Not because we want a bigger church, but because more people got to meet Jesus. Absolutely. You know, and it's like the house was crowded, but they were going to make room for one more, right? Absolutely. And it was like we kind of hit on that. And then their buddies lower the guy down to Jesus, you know, and so that kind of led us to the point of like God wants to use you to bring people to himself, you know. And we talked about the idea of like, surely not all four of them had the same idea at the same time. Let's tear a hole in the roof. There was probably one knucklehead that was like,
oh, that that story. Did y'all watch Chosen?
Yeah,
no.
That's I didn't until recently. I actually
I've been thinking about getting into it.
I've heard so much good stuff about it, but it ends. I want the rest of it. But there is that story is in Chosen.
Yeah. I've never been opposed to it for the record. I just haven't got into
it. Right. No, it's not cheesy or anything like other stuff. So
legit.
Awesome. But that I just happened to watch that episode like a week or so ago or whatever. I'm new to the Chosen thing, but anyhow, which is kind of cool because you see how they put their take on what you're reading in the picture in the show.
Yeah,
you know, because there was so many people in the house he was in just the house talking with the people and windows were open, people coming by, and then it was just
people
full
all around.
Yeah. So they had no choice. That's why they went to the roof. Yeah. You know, and it was cool. But
yeah, so we talked about that, you know, that Jesus wants you to bring people to himself. You know, he'll prove who he is to people. We talked about the Pharisees doubting him.
Let me interrupt there. That made me, when you said that, it made me think about something I've been thinking about since I was in Oklahoma City with Pastor Craig Rochelle, because he was talking about the one. And he gave a leadership talk, but he was sharing with all the leaders that were there where they are as a church. He's the pastor of Life Church. But he was talking about how, like, the one, there's always got to be the one. And he was like, we're big enough, and I think this applies to us. It applies to all churches. Like, we're big enough to impact the world, or maybe for your church, you're big enough to impact your community, but we're still small enough to care about the one.
Right.
And that was kind of his whole thing. So like, even for us, it was like, I've been thinking about that concept where like, we are growing, we're talking about that, and you know, we're talking about three services. I mean, we're in three services, talking about four.
Yep.
And you know, we've been growing, 1,200 people or so on a Sunday. Like, we are definitely impacting the community, and we're big enough to do it, but we are still small enough, that we should be caring about the one too, which we
intentional
do.
Intentional
about it too. Yeah. So I just made me think of that when you said that, because I've been kind of thinking about that thought for a while. Like,
dwelling on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. 100%. And you know, this, you know, ultimately we were talking in the message, and the whole message is walk it out is the idea of like, take your story and your invite. Like, take your invitation, do something, you know, with what you have. You know, Pastor Scott Thomas down at Free Life Chapel, he calls it use your big ask, you know, and and it's like,
yeah.
And he's like, use your big ask and, you know, ask someone to come to church with you on Sunday. I think it's kind of what we talked about on Sunday morning, which was like, you know, take your mat and walk it out. And I think, you know, the two things we really tried to accomplish three things at the end of the message. The first thing we tried to accomplish was to help people understand that if people say yes or no to your invitation or your gospel presentation, it's up to Jesus to cause them to believe. It's not up to you to get it just right or whatever. Like, the responsibility is not on you. Just go. Have courage and talk to them.
Yeah.
Everyone's eyes are veiled, like we talked about in 2 Corinthians. So it's therefore, if their eyes become unveiled, it's because God did the work on them in removing the veil, right? So we talked about that. We talked about use your testimony. Go ahead.
Well, the thing with I liked the way you did the message with the map, because I considered myself a learned individual.
Learned.
You know, okay. Not a dummy over here.
Yeah.
I'm learned. And but I think sometimes you read the Bible and you make assumptions just because of the things that are in there. For example, I've always read things like those stories where there's some with the mat, like to take up your mat. And I think there's a couple other places where there's a mat referred to, especially with someone who's crippled or lame or something. And it makes total sense that a crippled person – is crippled a right word?
I think so. I mean, crippled or lame is what the Bible uses. So I think we're in a safe space there.
A not a crippled person.
We're not laughing at the people. We're laughing at Justin trying to figure this out on the air.
A non-able, I don't know. If the Bible says crippled, that's what I'm going with. A crippled person, it makes sense. It would stand, it would stand to reason that there's a mat because, like, you got to be you're sitting on something all day.
Right.
But, you know, anytime when Jesus, when they were healed to take up your mat, or what's is the other story in Acts where it's Peter and it's Peter, and then they go in and the beggar's there, and they said, silver and gold I have none, take up your mat and walk, right? They, so they do it too. They tell the same, they say the same thing, take up your mat. So it's just like, well, you just say, well, that's just, I guess, what you do. Don't leave your, maybe it's like, don't leave your crap behind you or whatever. But I think there's, I just always just read that and thought, oh, just take up your mat. But it's like,
recycle.
But it's like, you wouldn't need that if you weren't, no one else carried them. You know, people that were not crippled aren't carrying around mats.
Sure.
Right. So I just thought it was good because I never just thought of that. I just read the line.
Yeah.
You know, when he, the person was healed, take up your mat and walk or whatever. But I never asked the question, why would he say that?
Yeah.
Why would they need to take the mat with them?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Especially if you've been there for years, it probably wasn't the. It was probably like matted down, it's disgusting. It had the marks where you're normally sitting on it, you know, type thing. Yeah, it just.
Yeah, absolutely.
I never asked. I never asked a question when I read that. Like, why would you do that? Well, so I thought it was good when you to bring that point out.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I and the other part too is like, you know, it's got to be filthy because the general understanding of. Anyone that would have been crippled or lame back then would have been they can't work for themselves.
Right.
They can't earn an income. So naturally, they would have been posted up by gates and in high traffic environments so that people could give them money so that they could survive. So they weren't in clean environments. They were in high traffic environments. So that mat was probably disgusting and very dirty.
Yeah, I mean, like, even the clean people probably weren't clean back then. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like,
it wasn't like
everybody was hitting the Dial soap every night in the shower.
Not happening.
So, they didn't have loofahs on deck.
No loofahs on deck.
I think so.
Yeah.
You use a loofah, Nate? You look like a loofah kind of guy.
You're a loofah guy.
There's this, like, Instagram thing that Leah got recently. It's like a rubber, like, I don't know, but it's good.
But you ordered it?
Yeah, she ordered it.
She ordered it off Instagram? Oh, nice. So you get like...
Nate takes three showers a day, dude.
Yeah.
So
I take two normally. Like, that's like the normal.
One that's not enough? Yeah, one doesn't do it?
No, because like...
He showers to go work out.
I mean, but... You don't want to walk up in the gym like looking... All right,
Wait. Hold on now. I can get down with two for certain, but like if you got up in the morning, you take a shower before you go to the gym?
And then I'm not going to go to the gym looking all like I want to feel clean going to the gym because I'm there to do work. Like it's before a basketball game or something. I would always do my hair and get ready because you dress for success. So you about to do the work. So you're going to get clean and you're going to get ready for the work you about to put in. And then afterwards, you clean up again.
Interesting. Well, good for you. Yeah. So, anyways, all that to say. what were we talking about? It was dirty, and you know, we tried to just deal with it from the context of like, but more importantly, we tried to deal with it because of time. We were trying to deal with it from the context of this person looking at the thing that's a constant reminder of where they came from, and who wants to carry around a constant reminder of the worst part of your life. However, the worst part of your life that Jesus healed you from is now a testimony, right? It's no longer the evil thing that it once was or bad thing that it once was. Now it's a testimony of God's goodness. And that was what we tried to talk about on Sunday. And it's like, you know, you having a past doesn't make your faith, what's the word we used? My mind just went blank. Artificial. It makes it accessible. Like that people... Now it's like people resonate with us in the areas that we are not perfect or complete or whatever. So
I have a question. What would you say to the person that might have grown up in church all their life that might not have the same past that other people do that can pick up their mat and show some extraordinary thing that God has done in their life to where, what would you say to that person? I'm not saying I'm that person, but I know
you're talking about the Christian who feels like because they've been a Christian their whole life, they don't have a testimony.
They don't know. Like, what would you say to that person? Encouragement or a word like, hey, like.
Jesus didn't either.
That's true. Yeah. I would say,
That Jesus. Just came across my mind. I'm not trying to like stump you.
It's a great question.
I think that's common.
I've had conversations like that with different people, and he wouldn't mind me saying it on the podcast. But Anthony, I have had that conversation a few times. Grew up in church, didn't really go down any of those roads. You know, no drugs and none. Like, just wasn't his life. You know, relatively Christian upbringing. And
I think that's great.
Yeah, he has said before, he's like, I wish I had done worse things because I think it would give me a heart of gratitude, a better heart of gratitude for where I'm at.
I've heard that from people.
And I think that's a reality that a lot of Christian people deal with. You know what? I think that I think we can all resonate with either the crippled man or the Pharisees in the house with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's Luke 15. You're either the older brother or the younger brother. Yeah, but you're definitely a brother, right? And it's like so you either have this like degree of self-righteousness you need to repent of, which is like, I don't really feel like I need God. And it's like, man, you definitely you need God for saying that. You know, you need grace and mercy. But no, I mean, for sure, don't get me wrong, like it's kind of what we talked about, like the three categories, right? The obvious, the unlikely, and the impossible. Yeah, when the impossible comes and meets Jesus, they've got this gravity to their story that the obvious category just doesn't have, you know? And it's like, but you know what, dude? The obvious also doesn't have generational curses and, you know, and they're not bringing with them baggage and health issues and like things that are also prominent because of the life that the obvious or the impossible lived, right? So it's like, you don't have these things, but you also don't have dozens of other things that are there too. It's like, so I think that's a reality, but I think, there's a lot of people that have dealt with that. And I've had that conversation quite a few times. That's a blessing and that's okay. I think where a lot of people find themselves is they don't know how to authentically worship a God they don't feel like they need because they haven't done anything bad enough to need him. And that's when it's like, well, let's talk about your mentality and let's talk about self-righteousness and let's talk about judgmental, attitude and spirit. And let's talk about all the ways that you actually need Jesus and grace and forgiveness. But I think a lot of that has to do with the mentality of churches and religious people that have categorized sins into different groups with different consequences and different values, you know? So it's like, well, I never did drugs. All I did was lie a lot. And it's like, to God, same, you know what I mean? So, but I think that's a common question. That would be my answer is it's like, A, be appreciative of that. Because you, as much as you don't have a huge testimony, you also don't have a lot of baggage. And the second thing would be, let's acknowledge the areas that you do need Jesus and realize that Jesus sees that and the drug dealer the same or whatever. So we talked about carrying your mat. And the last thing we talked about was like, imagine how you could change the world with an invite. And I told the story about Pastor Dan's.
The one lady.
The one lady, right. I don't even know her name. But you never know. You just never know.
Never know.
With someone like that. So, yeah.
That's what's cool.
Yeah, so Sunday was all about walk it out and the idea of like bring people to Jesus. This Sunday is prepare the way, Palm Sunday.
Prepare the way.
Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like a sun as a trumpet calls.
Wow.
Lift your voice, the year of Jubilee. You don't even know that song, do you? You have no idea what I'm talking about.
I have no idea. I thought you were quoting the Bible, honestly.
How many churches do you think are going to sing Hosanna?
Is that the song?
No.
No, that's what they declared when he was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, get your Bible out, Nate. I want to teach you a few things. I don't know. Probably most.
I haven't heard that song in a long time, though. The Hillsong version.
Hosanna. Hosanna.
Hosanna in the high end. I mean, here's the deal. It's fitting. Sure. I don't think it's crazy to sing that song.
No. You know, I think singing Good Father on Father's Day is pushing it a little bit, but Hosanna on Palm Sunday works just fine.
Yeah. The only reason we're almost joking about it, maybe I should give this context, is we just don't do many older songs.
Right.
We don't usually go back and do old songs. That's the only reason I made the comment. Not that it's bad if you're at another church and do that song. We're not making fun of you for doing it.
No. It's just we'll make fun of you for way different things than that.
Yeah, that's not it. But for a little while, we usually just don't do that. That's not what we do. But anyways.
So that was Sunday. We did it. So, but we challenged everyone out there, invite two people.
Man.
Invite two people. So
Two people.
You never know how you change the world. So
it could be thick in here. And pick a service time.
I think Easter. We're actually going to do I'm going to try to push for a little bit of a poll this Sunday, try to get an idea of pushing people to different services.
Yeah, we're going to be at 8 o'clock, 9:30, 10:30.
11.
11.
And 12:30.
Yeah, let's start over. 8, 9:30, 11, and 12:30.
There you go. Justin got it.
Boom. Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
So, it's going to be good. We're excited. Excited for the whole thing. Excited for what God's doing, where we're going, all the good stuff.
I'm
going
to be in my Easter suit.
Yeah? Doing tie or no tie?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to do tie.
I'm not sure what I'm doing just yet.
Well, it depends on the shirt.
What is going on here? Hey, somebody let him in. Is that Daniel Cook? He can get on the podcast. Oh, that could be dangerous, actually.
Yeah, so.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah. No, I'll probably do tie. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But, cool. All right. Well.
Yeah. What are you doing? You know what you're wearing yet?
No, I mean, I'm probably like a sweater, dress shirt, blue pants. I think blue is a necessary, like, on Easter, or like a gray, maybe like a gray or blue and gray. Or
I wanted to wear my cream suit, but it doesn't fit anymore.
I love blue. Mine's blue. I'm wearing blue. It's a new blue suit I got. I'm going to wear it. I'm probably going to do blue and white, like white dress shirt. I got a nice white pocket square.
Yeah.
What is that?
Pocket square.
I got a nice pocket square. It's a classic combo. I'll do colorful. I have like this pink kind of like a tie. It has like, I don't know, plaid is the right word, but it's like a design. It's like a little brighter. Yeah. I'll probably do the tie that'll be the colorful thing I do.
Yeah. I wonder if I like, I part of me wonders if I should do like a little mix up. So suit jacket, suit pants, but white t-shirt.
I think. See,
I don't know why I'm even asking. I should come over here.
Why you're asking? Do that and like maybe like a gold chain or something. Throw a gold chain in there.
What is this? Run DMC. This is a lead pastor on Easter Sunday. I want a gold. Put a gold tooth in too. What are you trying to do now? A gold chain. You got the student director dress you for Easter Sunday?
I think we should all. We should do a whole series where Nate dresses us, each one of us, while we preach.
That would be wild.
We should do it for summer.
I mean, honestly, summer.
That would be hilarious.
I mean, I could be a like someone who, what do you call it? I'm not a fashion designer. I mean, I could. I think like I have the ability to. My creativeness is in. The clothes that I wear, right? I thought I wasn't creative until I'm like, you know what? I can
wear still not.
These couch pants.
That doesn't make you creative. Yeah, that's not creativity.
What do you mean?
That is not creativity.
It's creativity with my clothes.
We struck a nerve. You guys have no idea. All of you listening and watching, you have no idea.
Picking
how
ugly
many times this conversation color, happens
ugly
in this
pattern
office.
Pants and saying it's fashion and that's creative. That's not creativity.
Why not? Who's like, what's the definition of creativity?
That ain't it. Whatever it is, that ain't it.
This conversation has happened more times than I care to admit in this office. So, yeah.
It's not. Sorry to tell you.
I think it is.
I think it is. I think to say that a creativity.
You're right there, bud. You got to check his pulse. Sorry, everyone. Okay, go ahead.
To say that that's not creativity, I think is.
It's definitely creative. It's just not Justin's preference of creativity.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, whatever.
I can think of a pair of pants that I have and think in my mind, 8 different t-shirts that go with now, 6 different pairs of shoes.
Here's the example.
That's creativity.
But, see, but you use the word fashion.
What I can wear.
Nate, would you wear a plain white t-shirt from Walmart? No, yeah. No, you wouldn't. But would he wear a plain white shirt that says Supreme on it? Yeah, you would. Because why? Fashion.
That has nothing to do. Like
that is not fashion.
All right, that's a type of fashion. That is luxury fashion wear.
You have been marketed.
I can go to a thrift store and pick out clothes and put them together. That's fashion. There's different lanes of what fashion is. And to think that just because someone wears Gucci, Louis Vuitton, and Supreme encompasses the whole world of fashion, I think
that's... No, and I know what you're saying.
It's a very narrow view of what the fashion industry is.
My real issue, and I'll be real, with certain brands, and everyone knows what the brands are, especially Louis Vuitton and Gucci. People with money don't wear Louis Vuitton and Gucci. People who wear Louis Vuitton and Gucci buy it so everyone else thinks they have money, but people who have money actually don't wear that. So when I see someone who wants to buy Gucci,
I think people who have money wear Louis Vuitton and Gucci, but also wear Prada, Fendi, Burberry, or whatever you call
they
it,
also
or
wear,
Rolex, and all
they
that
also
stuff.
Wear Target
Tom
and
Ford
and,
suits
and,
yeah. and stuff like that. I think people who just wear Gucci and Louis Vuitton might just want to show it off, but people who wear everything else.
I guess what I'm saying is my problem with young people, and I fell into this category too, is no one believes you have the money. That was the problem with wearing a Rolex when I'm 13. In my head, everyone thinks I have money, except no one thinks I have money because 13-year-olds don't have money to buy Rolexes. So it's counterproductive to what you're trying
Not
to
when
do.
They live in Pensacola.
Okay, so what you're describing is a way that you thought of when you wore that stuff. Not everybody thinks
I think you. People like you, I'll say not you, people like you with your mentality, like the idea of when you walk and everyone sees your Jordans and your Louis Vuitton or whatever stupid designer stuff you have, that they're going to think, wow, Nate can afford a $1,000 outfit. How great is that? And it's like, nah, not really. Or he's broke. Or most people who do that broke and got no money in the bank or whatever. And it's like, it's counter. Like,
I mean, if you do that to do that, then yeah, you're probably broke. But I mean, I don't wear clothes to...
Well, I think the difference in the conversation is we're talking about art and fashion, not the ability to look wealthy.
Yeah.
So yeah, the conversation evolved a little bit. But that's all true. That to say is,
Nate, some fashion looks
like
your
art.
Looks broke.
I like your art.
Some people are pulling the fashion. You're like,
they look.
It looks like
this
you
new
look
wave
homeless.
Of holes in shirts and stuff is
that's
wild.
True.
That's out
I
of
mean,
control.
I can just tell you, count not to say this is why I do it, but people come up to me all the time in a respect for my ability to put stuff together and look fresh. Constantly.
Listen,
and
at the end of the day,
that is my creativity and how I wear
at
my
the end of the fresh. Day, at the end of the day, every generation looks at the next generation and goes, they're idiots for blank. And the current generation is some of the stuff that people wear. Of course, we got people said that about us too.
And also,
we were wearing
it's also
FUBU
it comes
and all
back
that
around,
stuff.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
so, all that to say is that's why I'm like, you wear your couch pants, Nate, just not on my platform. All right. So, but
which I wouldn't. I know. I have,
you know
I have
where
a
the
good
line is.
Situational awareness of
yeah,
when
God.
I can wear what and when I can't.
Well, so all that to say.
The nice thing with some stuff is timeless.
Absolutely. You can get, if you wear a polo
like a
or
a
button up
a
and
suit.
Jeans. Yeah, of course.
I mean, the only thing with suits over the years is the fit of the suit. But a suit
yeah,
is
bro.
A suit is time.
A
I mean,
2001 NBA draft suits.
Oh, right.
For a while.
Or like the Steve Harvey, you know, Steve Harvey baggy, the jackets were longer. Like,
you know,
but at the end of the day, now they've gotten sometimes almost like even too skinny and too short, like on the pants. But, you know, like a suit is
pant
timeless,
shorts.
You know?
Pant shorts, yeah. Listen, if you're watching this podcast, watching this video or listening to this podcast, is what I'm going to say. One thing I will tell you is we do like each other here. these are conversations that happen every day at Transformation Church on staff. So we are passionate negotiators is the way I put it. So if you look at this and go, oh my God, they hate each other. No, we don't. But this is, we literally have debates like this every single day about something stupid. Yeah,
especially
stupid.
Nate with his fashion. So John, I'm making a request. John, I'm making a request. There's when you're gonna, since you're gonna add in some pictures of Charleston, you're gonna have to go and look on YouTube for Curb Your Enthusiasm, the show. There's a episode where this little kid's into fashion, and Wayne said it, and I need you to add it in, because that's Nate. That's Nate.
All right. So yeah, it's a good time. We love each other around here. If you don't have thick skin, you don't last here.
And we're just very opinionated people.
We are very opinionated people, and we don't back down. It's like,
when you have a right to be wrong, you know?
Yeah.
So all that to say is, if you ever think about putting in a resume, just keep that in mind, all right? But yeah, here we are. Anything else we need to talk about? Hey, I don't think so. Easter egg hunt is coming up on the 20th.
Oh, yeah. Dream
March
30th.
30th, March 30th. Thank you.
TC people.
Register. But we have some huge opportunities and more opportunities for people to register to serve at the event. And so I think because it's spring break week, people are registering a little bit more slowly because some people are going to be out of town. All that to say, if you're going to be in town, go register to serve because it's an amazing event. And quite frankly, like, we have some openings that we have to fill. And so I know that God's going to speak to some of your hearts. Go register. MyTC.life, you can register to serve at the Easter Egg Hunt.
It helps us plan.
And it's a huge event. And so we have the opportunity to make a difference in people's lives.
It's
a blast. So fun. Like, if you never served at a TC event, you'll leave that event going, I want to serve at every TC event because it is a blast. It's so much fun.
Did you get in the Dunkin' booth last year?
No, I didn't. No, but there's not going to be a dunk booth this year.
Dunk booth this year?
I didn't do last year, but I don't remember who did it.
No.
Last year.
Maybe we didn't have it.
No.
I know the year before we had it, but anyways.
It'll be fun. You want to be there.
It's going
to
be a good time. Be there, so, be square. Yeah, go register. It's going to be awesome. So register to go. And then don't forget to bring some people with you for Easter Sunday. And we'll probably be putting out a form for people to fill out. Let us know what service they're going to be coming to so we can try to plan a little bit. It's going to be a good time. And then bring somebody with you. Bring two. Bring two. Remember the statistic. 82% of people said they would go to church if their friend invited them. These are non-churchgoers. 82% of people that don't go to church said they would go to church if their friend invited them. Mm. Only 2% of Christians actually invite someone. Mm. So invite somebody, man. Change the world. Let's do this together. We got it. So
show them your mat.
Show them your mat. Yeah. So
pay attention.
So we love you guys. Justin, if they saw us arguing and we're like, I want to know where this church is at. Where would they find it?
Transformationchurch.com.
That's where we are.
At Transformation Pensacola.
No one can argue like
on all your socials.
So, Nate, thanks for being with us.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. Regularly dressed. Yes. And so,
yeah, that's regular.
Yeah, regular.
Regular, regular.
Yeah. With his up, down, down 8, which is also just an 8.
Yep.
Justin, as always, John.
Yep.
Grateful. Yep. And we love you guys. We'll catch you next week for another sermon, another message recap podcast.
Boom.